power nap?
Yeah, I took my lunch break, which I normally don't take, and I just literally just took a nap instead because I was working from home anyway. So I'm like, well, I'm just gonna. This is king size bed right next to my desk, so I'm just gonna lay down here for a little bit, set an alarm,
just turn up the alerts on the laptop.
No, I didn't even do it because it's my lunch, so I can be away for an hour and nobody even thinks So you know, I just set an alarm on my phone so I'd wake up after an hour in case I slept an actual hour, which I actually woke up right before my alarm did. Took a little nappy nap, you know.
You know, the other day I actually left for lunch and I had to go to Trader Joe's, which is an adventure. My dog has, there's these dog treats he really likes from there. So I had to go there and I was leaving Trader Joe's and I was like, and I looked to my left as I'm leaving. I'm like, there's Shules, which you've had their coffee. Their roasters right there. And I'm like, ugh. I was like, yeah, I never get anything for myself. Why not? So I pull in there and I'm like, I'm getting some coffee. And
nice.
Go in there and I get, I have a little cafe, right? And they have a few different offerings. So I was like, ooh, Cortado. That's like my go-to. I love a Cortado. But you typically, you know, you're looking at full-size cup price for a generally a very small drink, right?
Sure.
In terms of potency, you know, I'm sure it's all equivalent, right? But I do enjoy one because if you do it right, you know, I'll slow sip it, but half the time I'm just like, and guzzle it, right?
Yeah.
But that's how it goes. But I was by that, and I'm like, I can't feel bad just like using a card for $3.50, and I was like, I'm here, might as well get some beans too.
Yes. So,
got some of those too. I mean, I'm well stocked at home already anyway, but you know, it was fun. I just never like. It's a thing I should take advantage more of, but just don't leave, you know, I'll just don't leave. And I try to like with Zelda, you know, I'll play the Switch quite a bit.
Sure.
Yeah. On lunch, which has helped, but it comes in ways. I'll get into like, and I'll talk about that later on, but I'll, you know, I get dialed in and I'm like, oh, I can't stop. And then I'll put it down and then I won't touch the games at all for like a few days. And then it's like a like cyclical. Right. Yeah. But I've been reading it again. So that's what it is. But Kevin, we're here. Welcome.
Hey.
Welcome back to another.
Hey. We're here.
Another episode of the show, number 422. I'm happy to be here. Kevin, you're here. And I'm hope you listeners hope you're happy to be here too. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Notice how Jason didn't say I'm happy to be here. He just says Kevin is here. Not happy. He never is. He's just
never
here.
Happy. I'm old, irritable, and miserable. Yep. Welcome to almost 40, right? And exactly. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah. Well, I am 40. I'm 40. I'll be 42. Shit.
Whew.
Come November.
Can't even talk about this hip stuff anymore. What are we going to do here? What are we going to do with you?
We talk about hip stuff?
We might just have to throw out the show altogether and reinvent it in a couple months. I don't know.
Hmm.
We'll see. We'll see what's going on. But thrilled to have you. I am happy to be here. It's good to talk to you. We're a day late, dollar short. I'm writing the report.
Yeah.
I'm losing. I'm failing when I move. It's been a long time since I've heard that song. Close enough. Welcome back. Here we are. Let's do it. Kevin, you talked about it to me. What's going on here? You're in a different space. You're talking about heat exhaustion. Yeah. What's the deal here?
So last week, on Wednesday, my wife was having a minor operation, nothing that was going to, you know, she didn't have to stay in the hospital. It was an outpatient thing, but she was put under. So, you know, we had to deal with that.
Did she have her twin removed?
Did her what?
Her twin removed?
Yes. How did you know?
You know? That weird growth. I mean, you can't hide it forever.
It's fair.
I mean,
it's fair. Yeah. but what she wanted to do, and because we talked about the heating situation down here in the basement where I am currently, is normally where we are. It's basically like a studio apartment down here at this point. But it doesn't have, you know, because like most homes in New England, we've talked about this before, it doesn't have HVAC systems. It's like you have in-wall air conditioners or whatever, or portable ones and fans, stuff like that. So it does get very hot down here. So she was thinking about while she's recovering, you know, she did need to take it easy for a few days, couldn't really lift anything. She'd be laying down. She'd rather be comfortable in AC. So the room swap we had been planning for a while, where my youngest was taking my oldest room now that she moved out because it's a bigger bedroom,
right,
and then converting her bedroom into a guest room / office for me. Well, we were picking at those projects here and there. I'd done some patchwork on the walls and the ceiling in my oldest daughter's bedroom. And we were like, you know, going to do things slowly over the course of weeks as far as, you know, sanding it, painting it, doing any of the maintenance, and then getting the room ready to switch, taking all the giant furniture they've had. And, you know, of course, it's all heavy wood. And we decided to try and get it all done before her operation, which was on Wednesday. And we decided this Sunday night.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. So I basically had near damn near killed myself for days, like just dripping sweat, full exhaustion from like first thing in the morning till the end of the day, just like trying to get this room done. On the plus side, it all got done. So that's the good news.
I just have to interject here, and I just love how the story, you're referencing inadvertently so many hip hop songs and lyrics.
Am I really?
Your tail. Just how hot it was in there.
Hot in here.
With sweat dripping. Yep. I mean, you're going places.
Damn,
I'm impressed.
You're right. Right. Well, Wu-Tang is for the children. But yeah, it's done, thankfully. Just like little minor things here. Like we gotten some picture frames that came in later. Like my daughter's bedroom, it's a magical fairy forest kind of deal. Like we got vines going up the wall.
Oh, wow.
The border. And there's like moss growing out of the in-wall AC because we kind of cleaned that up and made it look nice again. And so we decided to frame it in like this moss and wildflower stuff. Like it looks really cool. It was just like,
you're like, let's dye the black mold green. And now it's moss.
No. I took care of all that stuff. But yeah, it looks great though. So it's very cool. And then the guest room is kind of like shaping up. It's very minimal anyway. Like we took all the big furniture out of there. It's literally just a king size bed, which really shouldn't be in the size of room that it's going to be anyway. But it has like the king size bed. And then my desk is right up against it on one wall. And then I mounted a TV on the other wall behind us and kind of just like things like that. But nothing major, but just kind of cleaned it up so it's nice and usable for me as an office. And when we do have guests, whether my daughter comes back home or whatever, we'll have a place to have people. So yeah, it was a rush job, but it got done. Just a shitload of hard work during just like the most miserable hot days we were having. So yeah.
I tell you what, man, that good on you. And that's what I haven't had to do much manual labor yet this summer. We're in vacation mode still. Like, you know, I was gone last week up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for a few days. And gosh, you think of the forecast, you're like, okay, it's sunny, but it's only gonna be 70. Dude, it was awesome. Like 75 was like maybe the hottest it ever got. And there's zero humidity up there. It was glorious, Kevin. Being able to like sit outside every night and just enjoy it. My son we didn't have any poop incident. So already
great,
drastically improved from vacation last year. So it was just good time. And it actually was able to come home after the fact and just be like, and feel like refreshed. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
which that doesn't happen often. Yeah.
No. So that was great. And I really, you know, we were gone Tuesday through, came home on Friday and had the weekend, but it's like, why did I work on Monday? Like, what was the point? There is zero point, you know, like I should have worked remote, but like, it's not like I could get involved in starting any projects or anything. Cause like, I'm going to not finish them and then I'm going to forget everything I did. Right. So it was good just, to continue. I feel like that's our yearly trip now in June or I guess, July. Mid-July, we go up there and we might stay on Mackinac Island next year. We usually visit for a day, but I think we might try to stay a couple dimes on the mainland and then stay a couple nights over on the island. But although it's drastically more expensive,
it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, but it's just more fun. And you know, we've got other traditions up there now. My son loves to go to the mystery spot.
Yep.
We don't do the tour of all of the weird stuff, but he loves the miniature golf. And there's like this weird castle-ish maze we do and loves that. Bought some merch because we got him absolutely. a grow your own Bigfoot. You put him in a thing of water.
Nice.
And fully expands over 72 hours. Great, great touristy kitsch, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, we do the same places. We went to tried some different restaurants that we hadn't before and just had a good time. So no complaints, and you know, we didn't murder each other, and that's always a plus.
That's a win
on vacation. So you come back feeling refreshed, and then I got to get through next week, and then I'm gone again for another 4 days. So
slacker.
And then I come back from that, and then I go to the island again for a wedding. So
just
back and forth to Northern Michigan, the nice 4-hour trip.
Right. Might as well just move up there. Just stay up there. Get a extended stay hotel and just stay there for the rest of the month.
We might. Yeah, right.
You can work remote, right? So just work remote.
Internet's not always the greatest.
Yeah, that's true.
I, you know, potentially wouldn't mind retiring if retirement's ever a possibility for us. Northern Michigan somewhere. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk in our golden years about that. But and speaking of talking about things, Kevin, I didn't talk about it on the show. I don't think at all yet. And I've spent a couple weeks in now. I started therapy.
Oh, good for you.
So there's that. Yeah. Just, you know, working, doing some, you know, my wife's urged it for a while. And then finally I was like, okay, what the hell? So mostly family stuff I'm kind of focused on, but I've got some own thing. Like coming back from vacation, like as apt to know, you know, you let go, right?
Yeah. The
hell you want. Might drink a little more beer than normal. Mm-hmm. And then I like, never should have went near the scale, but then I did. And I was like, holy shit. Those are the highest numbers I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But also, like, here's the thing. Let's face it. You know this drill. If you weigh yourself as soon as you got to weigh yourself as soon as you get up in the morning.
Yeah, that's true.
The end of the day.
Yeah.
That was strike one.
Mistake number one. Okay.
And then I just go, and I did this after our last vacation too. I go in the complete opposite. I like go into panic and I get hyper obsessive and I'm like, nope, got to go in the complete opposite direction now. So I'm off alcohol again. Now I've upped my mileage to like minimum 3 miles. So it's just like all these things, you know. I'm like, I gotta get all my water in a day. Here's my water bottle. I gotta drink all the water. I gotta get 82 ounces, and I just get, it's terrible. I get like super fixated on. So clearly, I have some things to work through, and it'd be interesting. We'll be seeing some of my family this weekend, so I'll be interested to see how that goes based on the stuff I've been dealing on. So
now you're doing it solo, like just you going.
Yeah. It's through the same office that my wife and son go to. So, I if nothing else, it's nice just to get that time just to talk really about anything and everything you want, right? And just let everything out there, especially potentially on things you wouldn't normally discuss with someone else, right? So that's the huge added benefit. So
you talked about Lucas for extended periods of time.
Yeah, he's a dirtbag.
Just airing of grievances.
Yep. I mean, he knows it. I mean, it's no different.
It's true.
It's no like shock, right? I mean, he knows. Nah. He knows he's a terrible person. Yeah. And kind of a fungus, you know.
Fungus.
we love you, Lucas. Wherever you are, wherever you're doing, wherever you've been, you're probably at a family get together right now.
Yep.
Probably
hating life, watching all the kid children because nobody else
getting yelled at by his wife. I don't know. Oh boy, I digress. So that's the things we're all going on here. Mixed bag for me up there, Kev, because we, you know,
yeah, you do.
It's always a journey, right? Went to the hotel with the kid. But he does pretty well. And we, you know, he put him down and they have this great balcony view of Lake Huron. And we just be able to chill, read, whatever. But I was like, okay, this is the trip, get back into it. I picked up Zelda again on the trip, which I hadn't for a while. And I probably put, you know, 2 hours, some cases, depending on how late I want to stay up, 3 hours a night, a couple nights into that thing. Cause my wife was reading the book too. And we'd chat and whatnot. But, finally it was like, okay, I'm ready to do some more main story progress. And I finished off the four temples. So now I'm doing what comes after that. I'm not like having received the hit, you know, the end hasn't started yet.
But
I'm still now, I'm like the whole time, I'm like, I'm not going to farm dragon parts. Okay. I don't want to deal with that bullshit.
Yeah. You said that before.
And I start playing it. And then I guess what? I go farm dragon parts. So I really want to get the champion's tunic, like max upgraded, because you got to look cool for the final fight. Right.
I mean, so, I guess. Yeah. You got to accessorize.
So that's kind of where I'm at now. I've done a shit ton of side quests. I mean, I think I've got almost all the shrines that are on the mainland. I've got the depths pretty much. I think I have the depths all explored, but one spot. And I've just been doing some stuff in the air now too. So really that's just kind of what I'm messing around with. And I don't know. I right now I've kind of hit a lull and I've stopped playing it for a little bit, but I just, it's just been a great game. And gosh, when did that come out now? April? Or was it May? May, right?
Yeah, it was May.
So, I mean, I've already been nursing along for a couple months, which is already much, much longer than I played the first game. So
it's true. Yeah.
Just in, you know, enjoying my time with it. And I think I've decided that when I do finish that, it's kind of twofold. Do I go back and finish Metroid? But I think it's time to finally pick up the new Monkey Island game, because I've
really
played that, and so that might be the next thing I get into, and just kind of disappointed with all of that too. Like, I just see that Sea of Thieves published like that big overview kind of Melee Island for the new content that's coming out, and it's kind of sad that they didn't, I don't know if it's sad, but I mean, it's unfortunate that like they didn't even like consult or talk to like Ron Gilbert or even, you know, come up to him before they did that. So like he found out with all of us when that happened. And so it's like, oh, that's a little disappointing, but I think that's the unfortunate part of, well, I guess that is weird. Cause how does all that work? Because he was involved with the new game, but I don't know who actually owns the property.
Probably right? LucasArts, because, right?
Yeah. I guess it is LucasArts Games owns that. That's weird though, because he was involved and helped make the newest game that's out there. Obviously, yep. When Telltale had it, not the case, but just weird. It's kind of right. Weird how that.
Yeah.
But I guess if they own the game, if they own the rights, right? And yeah. Just because he was involved in the game, I guess they're free to do.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. They can bring him in if they want to, but yeah, they don't have to. But it's kind of shitty. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of crummy. Cool that they brought. I do really want to check that out, but I just time.
Oh yeah.
And, I know Matt will be thrilled to have anyone that wants to play CFP.
It is weird though, like to back to us, like why he's still involved with games. So like, why wouldn't you just reach out and be like, hey, you want to do this? Like he probably would have just been like, hell yeah. Like I just want to do this. Like
yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
He's pretty active on Mastodon and he's been, he's definitely working on, he talks about coding and all. So he's definitely, he's got some sort, he's actively developing something, he's working on some sort of project right now.
Yeah. They did Thimbleweed Park not that long ago, and so it's like he's still working on stuff. Like,
yeah, and like David Fox isn't that active on Mastodon, where he's really active around Blue Sky. Like, he's got like this whole game dev, like game developers, like in the way, like I don't know how much familiar you are with Blue Sky. They don't have their own like algorithmic feed, but you have the ability to like. If you have the knowledge, and I think some people have developed tool sets that can do it, you can create your own like feeds. So there's this game developer specific feed that he's helped. I think he's been involved with, or at least, but it helped connect people. So there's like, I get all these game dev people in the feed over there. And I don't really use Blue Sky that much, but just interesting to see that these names of these titans of the industry, so to speak, pop up. And so yes, Zelda. That all connects to Zelda.
Yeah,
that's the answer, Zelda. So, I'm very interested. Like I've heard enough tidbits, and I'm really interested in what the ending's like and how the story plays out and everything. Right. But it's just been a fun game to just slowly sit and simmer, right?
So. Yeah, yeah.
Is Pikmin, is that this week?
That's to say, with Pikmin coming up, I may eventually, after Pikmin wears off, be able to actually get Zelda at that point, because
you and your wife will probably rampage through that in the next 2 weeks, and then that'll be,
she'll be playing it longer beyond that, I'm sure, with all the other stuff, because I did read some reviews, nothing in detail to find out like the story, but they all said like the main campaign's about 20 hours, no problem, she'll be done with that in a couple days. But they said some additional content is post credits that is some of the best Pikmin stuff, or the best Pikmin stuff they said they've ever seen. So I don't know what that entails. I didn't dig any further. I'm sure I could find out if I really wanted to, but I was like,
is there any DLC planned for that at all? Or?
They didn't mention it, but they only talk about the campaign and one multiplayer mode. It does not have even a fraction announced of what the last one did. So I'm hoping that maybe that's some of the stuff that unlocks after the fact, or there's stuff coming down the line, because I'm sure they'll do something. Sure. They have done for, Pikmin 3 did have DLC, and that's where some of the additional modes came in after the fact. So hopefully they'll do the same thing here, but they haven't officially said anything. But
you would think, honestly, with any of the heavy hitters again, but any of these more popular franchises or anything that's coming out now this late in the Switch lifecycle, you would think that now's the time to kind of like help milk it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And instead of developing something new, let's continue to drip feed stuff for things that are already out there.
Look at Mario Kart, still going.
I totally echo Donnie's thoughts. I've been recently listening to Nintendo Shack, and just my guy, like, I am sick of Mario. We've been playing Mario Kart 8 forever, and I just don't want to play Mario Kart. It's a great game, don't get me wrong, but I just don't want to play Mario Kart anymore.
I want new stuff.
Let's face it, Kevin, we were involved in a forum when that game was out. I remember you guys saw it. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta get this game to play Mario Kart with all these people, and then I got it and it was like great, and then you're just like, okay, I'm good. Then it came out on Switch, and you did it all over again.
Now
it's like,
And it's been out for the entire Switch life cycle and not and still releasing content. Like, but it's three new characters in this last DLC pack. Like,
yeah, God.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, Pikmin will be, I'll talk about that plenty the next time around. But I've been playing a couple things kind of here and there to satiate my appetite, I guess, while waiting for Pikmin. So I do have a couple things for review, but honestly, they were nothing that good. So I didn't even put them on this list to really talk about. But the ones I did put on this list, we'll go
on
to
a scale of one to Gollum.
Oh, they're better than Gollum, hands down. But they're just not, it's nothing of note really to talk about. They're kind of just like mediocre games. But one I did jump into because of Game Pass, and I know I've heard people talk about this in the past, is Fist, which is Forged in Shadow Torch. You might know it as the bunny game with the giant robot arm. I don't know if you heard anything about
Forged
that before.
Forged in Shadow Torch?
Yep.
All right, let me check this out. I don't know of it, but I'm still out of the loop with games now.
That's true. It came out a while ago.
I remember
Yeah. 2 years ago.
I wouldn't have known this was the game, but I recognized the cover art.
Cover art.
The rabbit guy with the big robot hand. Yeah.
Yep. It's a Metroidvania. It's a lot of fun. The combat and movement is very fluid, very fun. I like it kind of better than the Ori movement, to be honest. Like, it feels better to me. But yeah, the storyline is, it's like a post-apocalyptic world where basically, like, there aren't humans, there's animals instead, but they're, you know, sentient.
Bucky O'Hare is pissed.
Very much like that, yes. And there's a war going on with cyborgs versus, you know, natural animals. And your character was a former, you know, Marine or whatever they called him back then. He had a huge mech suit, and the battle ensued. They lost, and, you know, he lost his suit. Where his friend, who does, like, all the tinkering stuff like that, was able to at least reactivate the arm, which is what he has it attached to. Okay. So he's just using the arm piece for combat, and you go on your mission to take down, you know, the cyborg army at that point. But it's a very, very cool Metroidvania with great visuals. Are fantastic. There's a giant skill tree to unlock. There's different versions of the fist, so to speak. You have just your standard hand, you got like a drill bit piece, but it's a lot of fun, and it's very well thought out with a pretty in-depth story for something that's a Metroidvania. Like, you look at things like like Hollow Knight and stuff like that, where like there's a story there, but a lot of it is like you have to read and kind of get the story via that. This actually plays out like you have missions, you have objectives, you go do that.
Oh, nice.
But it still flows like a Metroidvania, where you're going back and forth across the map and everything.
It's 2D, yeah?
Yeah, 2D. The backgrounds kind of go three-dimensional, but it is, as far as how you play it, it's a 2D.
Or at least I should say, like, side-scrolling, at least.
Yes, in the term, yes, absolutely.
Side-scrolling platform Metroidvania.
Yeah, but it's really good. It's a lot of fun. It's on Game Pass for anybody interested, so you could just try it out right now. But I've spent...
You ever get the mech suit back, or
I haven't as of yet, so I don't know. I'm thinking no, unless it's like the very end of the game, like the final battle kind of thing, because it is a story purpose as to why you can't just have the mech that they don't want to.
Who doesn't like a mech suit, right?
I mean, yeah. But you do upgrade your ability. So like, you start off with just a standard jump, and then you could do like a double jump. You unlock that. You unlock the ability to glide. You know, things of that nature. So stuff comes out that enhances your abilities using the fist. But it's a lot of fun. But yeah, definitely check it out. Been digging that.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll do another one real quick because this one I don't have too much to say.
Yeah.
Exo Primal. This is the one that everyone thought was going to be Dino Crisis when it was first shown, and it turned out not to be. It was like Anthem with dinosaurs almost. So it hit Game Pass, I believe, yesterday, or it might have even been this morning. I'm not sure, but I played it this morning. Only played about 3 or 4 hours into it. But yeah, basically you get a mech suit. There's all different classes of mechs. You have your assault, your tanks, your support. So it plays like an Overwatch kind of thing. And you're dropped into these mission scenarios where dinosaurs fall from portals and just kind of horde mode you. They just swarm you. So you got T-Rex.
Kind of looks like a combination of what's that game that Tom Server was big into for a bit there with the cyborg things.
Warframe.
Yeah.
You know what? It is kind of like that too. Yeah. There's some exosuits that are like that. It's not the game I thought it was going to be. I thought it was very much going to be like a story driven, kind of almost like a Gears of War kind of thing. Cause it reminded me like of that kind of gameplay. It's not. It's actually more like an Overwatch than anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're dropped into these scenarios. I'll say it like that. And it's a 5v5 team going on. And you're both trying to compete objectives at the same time as fast as possible. So some of it's like clearing the hordes, getting to a new location, clearing the horde, getting to a new location. And you can kind of see the ghosts of your opponent's team. And they'll tell you as you finish each objective if you're faster or slower than your opponent. So you know what's going on. You do like three or four of these different scenarios. And then the final thing is like you're doing like a payload kind of scenario. You're escorting the payload to the end.
Yeah. Yep.
When that happens and your opponents reach you, or you both kind of beat, or you reach them at that point, you can then kill each other. So it's PvP at that point, no longer PvE. Okay. And you can also try and destroy their payload to stop them from advancing. And then once so you complete it, there's a winner.
I'm sorry if I missed it.
Yeah.
It's multiplayer.
Yeah. It's all multiplayer. It does fill the lobby with bots. I did have that, but I don't know if that's because somebody dropped out mid-match or not, but I saw it at the end. The winning team gets rewarded with more like XP and potential like chests that has like loot. So like skins and cosmetics and stuff like that. Nothing of any gameplay benefit. Like it's not a pay to win kind of thing. And then
got a pre-order bonus.
Yeah. The story, there is a story, and the story advances as you play these things. So it kind of gives you a reason to play these matches over and over again. But my experience so far is nothing really drastically changes. It's kind of just like, here's a 200 raptors running at you. Let's take them down. And then a T-Rex might drop in, and it's cool, but it's not ultimately something I think I'll be playing long term, but it was worth checking out. And again, Game Pass, it was free. It was worth at least seeing. Gunplay feels good. Yeah, it just wasn't what I thought it was. I thought it was a story based game, and it's not. It's multiplayer, and they kind of shoehorned a story into it to get you to keep playing.
No, it's funny that you bring up Overwatch, because I see that's on Steam, or coming soon to Steam.
Is it really?
Along with some other Blizzard titles will be available.
Oh, I guess yeah, that makes sense. And, yeah, Microsoft will want that. Yeah.
And I think I saw a headline, I think, recently too, just that user engagement's down on Overwatch.
And, oh yeah, Kyle and Josh talked about it on Board Video Games a lot, because Kyle's a huge Overwatch guy. He said himself, like, this time around, like, it's just Overwatch 2 is not doing what they thought at all, and the story modes that they promised, or the PvE modes, are now not happening at all. They're just not doing them. So they promised it. That was the whole reason they needed Overwatch 2. They've now said they're not doing it, so there was no reason to have Overwatch 2, because all they did was release new characters. It could have just kept playing Overwatch 1. Like, it did
Overwatch, I mean, I just, that game is, you know, I remember when it was first in beta, Overwatch, and just being so excited for it. Like, I was a devotee of the cult of Blizzard for a long time, and for good reason. I think they were always a story developer until, you know, more recent days, but man, loved it and played it a bit, and then just, you know, wasn't my total cup of tea. And then I tried to play two, and it's just like, no, like, I know they're trying to do things to like curb it and make it better, but it just, the people, you know, just the toxicity and just the tryhards. And like,
yeah, if you're new, you're have a bad time with Overwatch. You had no chance.
Yeah. And like, I appreciate that they implemented the, role-based matchmaking, right? And you can kind of queue for whatever role you want to play, but let's face it, and that's funny, because a tank and support are the classes I enjoy playing, but almost always you get stuck as support.
Yeah,
and nobody wants just support. That's never we don't even go to, but we don't need to go
on.
It's unfortunate. So
yes
back to me then. I'm going to start off with something that we actually just watched last night. Randomly felt like watching something, fired up Netflix, and it popped up as the popular thing. And it's they have a documentary series that's called Unknown, and it focuses on different things. Like, I think they have one that's about searching for a lost pyramid or something to do with Egypt. I can't remember what the next one is, but the most recent one is called Unknown Cave of Bones. And holy shit, this, I knew nothing about this, and it's fascinating. So
what is it on?
Netflix.
Okay.
which is odd. It's got a 64% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I don't agree with. But anywho, it's takes place. This is a documentary follows a group of paleoanthropologists in South Africa in what's called the Cradle of Mankind, and where they found a lot of mankind's ancient ancestors, remnants there.
Yeah,
and what we've found evidence of and what they've discovered there is an entirely new species of mammal that's not human called, which has been called a Homo naledi is the name of it. So it's they're not sure. Is it possibly related to Homo sapiens? We don't really know. Is it, but they're definitely, I think it was around 250 to 300,000 years ago is when the species lived, and they found evidence. There's a specific cave they excavate, but they found evidence that this species performed burial rituals.
Really?
Which we showed instance of Homo sapiens doing this.
Right.
But, not nearly as long ago as this. So, because it's literally there's this cave system that they go down into. You would have to go to the cave system. They call it a section called the Superman crawl. We'd have to crawl through on your belly, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have a section where you have to climb up. And then there's a section called the chute. And I can't remember how wide this area is, but it's like a drop straight down. And then they find the burial chambers. So very fascinating, the evidence of it. And it was just like, I was kind of like mesmerized through the whole thing. So this, like 2022 is when this excavation, took place. And I think we've originally had uncovered the Homo naledi species, 8 years ago.
2013 was first discovered.
Okay, so about 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden they just more recently found this, this burial evidence, and it's really remarkable. Just thinking of it, it makes you kind of rethink a lot of it. Just the thought that there was something else with human like behavior on the planet, but very much not human.
Well, they say they used fire for light and cooking as well.
Yeah, they found, it's documentary, but yeah, they find evidence of that and tool usage. So
okay.
Pretty crazy. I mean, you can't make too many, observations or, from a skeletal remains, but
sure.
I think they're able to kind of infer based on brain size. Like they probably weren't capable of language in terms of culture, but at least they had some, obviously some way of communication, via grunts or this or that, or just, physical, movement based, but just very remarkable. It was really cool. I think it's about in 90 minutes. So it's just pretty remarkable. I thought it was just kind of fascinating to felt enriching, right. To learn about something, and it was just really cool to hear about it. And then I don't know how people feel about, evolution versus creationism and all that, but
science is real, people.
Science is proven in fact, right? And just wow, these are the things, stuff like this is where I was like, it'd be amazing if we ever get a Dial of Destiny or time travel, right? Because how fascinating would it be to see back, and the fact that why doesn't the species, what happened, why didn't it exist, did they just, were they not evolved enough for physically to survive the climate, did another tribe of species eradicate them, what was the case, why didn't they survive? It'd be amazing to see that, and so many things that aren't history, would love to, what the hell happened to Amelia Earhart, right? Would love to answer these mysteries that of things like that happened, or shipwrecks that disappear and all the stuff. So this is one of those other unanswered questions, wow, how did they live? What was it like? And it's just really, it was really riveting, right? For me, at least on that level. So,
I'm just reading the Wikipedia and I'm like, this is fascinating. They probably lived only 15 years. They were a little under 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And the mock-ups of what they look like is almost the best way for me to describe it is the new Planet of the Apes movie. The main ape, whatever, Caesar, I guess, the one that talks.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks a lot like that. Yeah, yeah. And the size is about the same too. I'm like, wow, that's
crazy. Very, I'm not quite a chimp
Yeah.
Neanderthal hybrid, but kind of like that, you know?
That's just the mock-up they had.
So okay, yeah. Like that, yeah. It's like if they tried to use the Beast Wars 3D animation to make yes. Caesar Planet
yes. Apes. That's, yes. That's what it looks like. So, exactly. It's got a sick fade going on
there. I would recommend it. I thought it was really cool. And yeah, who cares about Rotten Tomatoes? Get bent, right?
So. Absolutely. All right. What should I talk about? Let's do Bramble. So this game, I encourage you to look this one up because this one's neat. So this is called Bramble. The full title is Bramble, the Mountain King.
Games anymore?
Yeah. Well, this.
Oh, wow. That comes up.
This I actually found via TikTok originally, and I saw these clips of people playing this game, and I was like, "This looks really cool." And I think it was available on PC first. Yeah, because it was April. So I didn't get a chance to play it, but it just hit Game Pass. It's like, I think this is the same game. So I downloaded it and started playing. I'm like, yep, this is the same game. So this game is basically a like fairy tale you're playing it. So it's Bramble the Mountain King is a grim adventure set in a world inspired by dark Nordic fables. You experience the beautiful yet dangerous and twisted land of Bramble in an endeavor to rescue your sister. So it starts off very Hansel and Gretelish as a brother and an older sister.
Yep.
And she climbs out the window.
I was like, oh, is it going to be like Brother's Tale of Two Sons again?
That's what I thought at first. But yeah, it's totally not. It's best described, I think, like playing it. It feels more like a walking simulator, but it doesn't look like it. Like if you're watching any footage of this game, it's absolutely beautiful. And like the environments are rich and the lighting effects are fantastic. It's just like a whole thing in itself. But like as you play it, it's not super convoluted where you're like, oh, I got to really have skills to be good at this game. It's like, no, you kind of just walk from point A to point B. There's some visual puzzles. There's some sneaking around you got to do.
Sure.
But like in the first couple of hours, you experience like gnomes and the frog prince who saves your life at one point. And there's this giant troll. It's like, it's just this crazy. Yeah, like
the enemies are pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a crazy environment. Like you end up basically when you kind of fall into this world with your sister, once you catch up with her, you guys kind of end up miniaturized. So it's kind of almost like you know, you're Honey, I Shrunk the Kids-esque. So, like, the landscapes are much bigger than you, and you're the same size as dwarves and gnomes as you run into. So, it's like you're that size. So the whole world is just so much bigger, which makes these creatures and these monsters that much more intimidating. But
I don't know why, but I get, like the visuals, or maybe it's just the backdrops. It kind of reminds me of, like, Little Nightmares.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah, it plays similar to that. Yeah. Well, no, it plays similar to that. It's a little, I would say the controls are a little bit tighter, a little less floaty than Little Nightmares are, if you've ever played that. But yes, it's definitely along the same lines of what Little Nightmares does. Just less gross, I guess is the best word.
Yeah.
It's a little more beautiful in the sense where there still are horrific monsters and stuff like that happens too, but it's done in a much more fairy tale esque manner. I've only played like 2, maybe 3 hours or so. I'm not that far into it, but it immediately hooked me. I'm like, this is cool. So like I put down Fist to play this because I was like, this was good. So this is one definitely to watch again. It's on Game Pass now. So if you have Game Pass on PC or console, check it out. Bramble the Mountain King. But yeah, if you like something like Little Nightmares, it is very much in the same vein of that. Just done, I think, with a little more care to be something a little more special, a little less like just trying to shock you like Little Nightmares does.
Yeah, I mean, pretty remarkable too, like on Steam here it came out, let's say April 27th was the the release date. Recent reviews, there's 226 overwhelmingly positive, and then all reviews there's over 1300 and mostly overwhelmingly positive. So
yeah,
you don't see that a lot. I just looked it up, looks like 4.5 to 5 hours is total runtime.
Oh, good. So that's
the game. So it's like very much play. You can get through it in just a couple sessions.
What's the price on it? I don't think it's expensive either, right? It's like $30.
Maybe more. Actually, I kind of glanced right over that.
I just closed my window on that, so I
don't have it. Yeah, $30, and then there's DLC, which is soundtrack and an art book. So
okay, yeah, it's 100% what I've played so far. $30 is like perfect. It is spot on. It's just done so well. Like the team that worked on this did a great job. It's definitely one of those games that, like, in a sea of Game Pass and like weekly releases, this one I didn't see a lot of marketing for. I didn't see any hype for it. I just randomly happened to see a TikTok. But the second I played, I'm like, this actually is something special. This is not just another release in a wave of releases in a week kind of deal. Like, this is something right. that's really cool. So I really encourage folks, again, if you have Game Pass, check it out. It's on everything, I think. Probably wouldn't play it on Switch based on the graphics, because I would imagine it would do some chugging.
Yeah, probably not great.
Right, but everything else is just, it's fantastic. So Bramble the Mountain King.
Have you heard of this game, Dave the Diver?
I think so. That sounds familiar.
I've seen a lot of buzz about it, and I don't really know much about it, but it seems like it's pretty cool, and I don't really know anything. What it is, the Dave the Diver is a casual single-player adventure RPG featuring deep-sea exploration and fishing during the day and sushi restaurant management at night. Join Dave and his quirky friends as they seek to uncover the secrets of the mysterious Blue Hole. So it just came out end of June. So, and wow, over 26,000, over 38,000 reviews of overwhelmingly positive. So just $20 on Steam.
As it just your reading the description, it sounds like what was the game that we were both playing? Where you went in the dungeon, you got all the weapons, and you went back to your shop and sold them.
Oh, Moonlighter.
Moonlighter. It sounds like Moonlighter, but in the ocean.
In the ocean. God, Moonlighter, that was such a cool game. Like, I love the art, and so disappointed. Like, they just phoned in the last half of that game.
Yep.
Really phoned in the ending. That's really disappointing. But, I will add this to my wish list, because it looks...
Yeah, I'm going to check this out. Dave the Diver. It's only $20, too, so it's not even like it's a...
Yeah.
But yeah, it does
look... God, why didn't I get a Steam Deck ever, Kevin?
Money, Jason.
I know, but
money.
Like, the way I play with, like, clearly I've discovered that I need to have a Switch or portable, because I just, it, like, getting down here in the office, it's just so nice to just be able to hang out with Jess and play in the same room. And, like, she totally reads. It just, like, totally changes the experience of being down here. But, speaking of enjoying things with her, books, I got back into it. I had mentioned that I was trying to read, Where the Deer and the Antelope Play.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for whatever reason, it was like a slow burn. And I think my problem was, it was like getting, you know, I had been so like back into games, right? Yeah. And it was like retraining my brain a bit to digest written media. Yep. So like it took like the first act, that book is in three sections. And the first one really, it just took me forever to get through. And then finally, once I got past that, like the next two, I just like devoured. And it was like, I really appreciate like Nick Offerman's like opinions on his observations on life and mm-hmm. people and the quips he has along the way, and his, I mean, you know, if you know his comedy and his style, mm-hmm. I mean, you know his attitude and what he is about life and everything. And especially like the last he finished that book like right after, well, he finished the book shortly, I think, after COVID, but the last like section like talks about like this road trip he and his wife take. He gets like a Airstream and mm-hmm. they take this cross country trip to like visit family during Thanksgiving, but it like talks about, you know, going to all these different national, like these parks and where they stayed and dealing with Trumpers and anti-maskers, you know, people, anti-maskers and all this shit. So kind of going, being transported back to that time, but just pretty remarkable. And like, after I got through, I was like, oh damn, that was actually really good. And I might have to check out a couple of others books, but it was good. I recommended it, and I would recommend it. And I enjoyed it after all. And so I finished that, and it's like, okay, I gotta finish this other book that I had been for reading forever, which was Chaos Monkeys. I had that. I've checked that out multiple times, and I finally finished that. And overall, it was like, I do enjoy the story, especially like, but like the main character is like, well, not the main character, the author himself, you know, he's writing about him, a little bit of a narcissist, a little misogynistic, you know, obviously that comes with the time, you know, we're talking about back in, you know, 2010, you know, era, 2008, back there, you know, like a little radically different, I think, as of opinions even back then. But just like, you know, he didn't really, he was just focused on his career, you know, separated with his the mother of his kids. I don't know how much he even saw his kid, like was just focused on doing his thing, making money, and, you know, and didn't really see his kids or her, you know, he gave her child support. But, you know, so it's like some of that, like, him as a person, I like, you're kind of an asshole, but like the struggle of like, you know, creating a business, you know, developing a business, selling it off to a big product, like, you know, Google or Facebook, and, you know, coming up and insight of those earlier stages of the company and how they ran things. It was pretty remarkable and pretty interesting. And just for me, it dealt with just like when Google, when Facebook was really trying to further monetize themselves, not just by selling our data, but when they were trying to really get the Facebook ad exchange running. So it just deals a lot with that whole ad buying stuff, which kind of hits close to home with me because I worked in that industry for, you know, just a couple of years, but I worked for an ad marketer and buyer, and it was just kind of wild to touch base there. But I did finally finish, and it was, you know, it was just kind of all right. But then I don't know what it is with me and tech startups and these narratives I have to read. Jumped on to the next one, which is Hatching Twitter, which is, it's researched and, you know, bit, you know, based on all the research the author did and interviews and everything, but it's also, you know, a story that he's written above it too, but it focuses on the four founders, original founders of Twitter, mm-hmm. and that the story of how it kind of came to be. And I know that's like a kind of a taboo topic right now,
sure, right,
like Twitter and what it's become, but in terms of the cultural zeitgeist, right, really changed the entire landscape of how we communicate and how we engage on the web and with each other, and just the what happened, you know, the evolution. I wasn't really too, when I think of Twitter, the only name that always gets thrown around now is Jack Dorsey, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't really know anything about who founded that, and like the fact that, you know, the guy that did, Evan, I can't think of his last name right now, but he originally started, and like he made his money first, he started blogger.com. And I was like, holy shit, I remember back in the day, like early 2000s, yep. discovering that and having a blog on there. And after his time with Twitter, he also helped create Medium. So like very much in that same vein, but you know, just kind of remarkable how things go. And every time I read one of these things, I'm like, God damn it, I got to learn to code. You know, it just always happens. But I don't know what it is about like that. Just like that. That's like, I just really love these tales of budding technology, right? And the stories of how things came to be. And so probably after this, I probably will go back, and even though I'm not too keen to read about Zuckerberg, but I'm probably going to go back and read Accidental Billionaires, which is the book that The Social Network was based on.
Yeah.
So, and I've read the author. I've already read I read his book already by him about the Winklevoss twins and their journey with Bitcoin, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I think it's Ben Mrzyk. I'm probably butchering his last name. I can't
probably
paraphrasing here, but it's good. I it'll probably be good, right? So
yeah.
But it just felt good to read. Like, you know, finishing books really gives me like a little dopamine hit in a lot of different way that finishing a game doesn't, right? It's like a different experience. And it just I don't know. I feel like I'm doing something positive, where game I just feel like I'm playing it. Like when I think about how much time I've already put into Zelda, and I'm well into past the 100-hour mark now, and I'm like, you know, what am I doing with my life here? But, you know, books and everything is like, there's worse things, right, Kevin? Yes. Where I could be out doing drugs, getting drunk, you know, we don't do those things.
Nope. Well, nope. Is that right? It's entertainment. So it's just like you watched a whole bunch of movies. Right. It's the same thing.
Right.
Or binge watch a TV show. Yeah.
So good. How are you still watching the Marvel show there, Sam Jackson?
So we haven't gone back to it at this point. I think the finale's next week. So I think we're going to start it later this week or early next week and just kind of watch straight through. Like, we're just going to just do it. But apparently people are still digging it. The ones that are still in, I've only heard good things, so we'll see. But I do plan to finish it. Yeah. Just haven't had the time.
Okay.
With all the house stuff we were doing, I didn't really get much relaxing time. So, yeah. But one thing I did watch, and see, I almost wish you did the book, I'm forgetting the name of it now. The first book you talked about, Nick Offerman's book.
Deer and the Antelope Play.
Yes. Oh. I wish you almost did his last, because this ties right into COVID. I watched a movie called Sick from 2022, but it released on Peacock in 2023. It is a horror movie. Written by the guy who kicked off the Scream franchise and all those slasher films from the 90s, I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Faculty, all that kind of stuff. And this movie is very much in that same spirit. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of tropey, right? But yeah. The twist on it and why it's called Sick is basically it takes place during the beginning of the pandemic. So as everyone had to isolate, This is where this movie kicks off. So happens is basically these two college friends, they go and decide to quarantine together at daddy's lake house, because of course they're one of them is rich, and dad's not there, so it's just these two girls, and they're kind of just planning holing up there, and all of a sudden they start receiving weird text messages that they don't understand, and then a masked psychopath comes after them.
Perfect.
Yeah, so it all fits in. The action is pretty good. There were some twists in there I definitely did not see coming, which is funny for somebody who writes so many of these horror movies that you could see the ending coming from a mile away. He actually caught me a couple times, like, oh shoot, I didn't think that was gonna happen, or you know, this is different. It feels very much like the old Scream movies as far as like the action of hunting the people down and chasing, because it's very much just, there's no supernatural element to it. It's very much a human person after them using a knife. Like, it's very just bare bones in that regard. I will not give away the twist, because every horror movie has to have a twist, and this one, it's the motivation for hunting these girls down. I will say the twist is where the movie almost lost me completely. And it kind of,
I'm watching the trailer and I'm just gonna see where she's like running out and flags down another driver, and then she's like, hold on, and she has to put her mask on.
Yes, before she starts. That part was hilarious. She's like, I don't, do you have a mask? And the girl's like, this guy's trying to kill me. I don't know. I don't have a fucking mask. She's like, it's not safe out there. She's like, it's not safe out here right now. You know? So she's like yelling at her, but yeah. So like it's funny because like it made me think back to those early days. Like everyone's buying the groceries and then taking home, they're wiping them down. Like,
You got to leave the package in your garage for like a few hours before you open it. Yeah.
So they were doing all that stuff. So I was like, oh my God, it hit home. But the movie was good. It was good. The ending didn't sour me that much, but I was kind of like, oh man, like it was a great horror movie until that hit. And then I was like, okay, now it's an okay horror movie. It's a good horror movie. It's worth a watch. It's like 90 minutes. It's not that long. So it's you know, all those in that genre, like it's not a big time suck, but it was sure. fun enough to watch. And again, it was on Peacock. So I already had the subscription, so I just watched it with my kid. We enjoyed it. And then the only other thing that I'm watching, which I decided to do today, is when I'm working from home, I like to have some sort of background noise, just to have something on. The Twilight Zone. The original
or Jordan Peele?
Original Twilight Zones.
Because I think, didn't they pull that off of Paramount, I think?
It was all on Netflix. Oh, wait, the Jordan Peele one?
Jordan Peele one. I think
they pulled that off, and they're trying to sell it. Just like that was one of the things they were like, well, we'll just sell it. Dude, it is so good.
I've watched
good.
Some of the original.
It's so good. They're so good. And it's just so like, I don't know. It's just something about them. You know, I forget what holiday was. It might even be Memorial Day, Labor Day. When they do like the marathon, they used to do sci-fi and show 24 hours in Twilight Zone. And I watch episodes here and there, but I think I'm going to watch it through. It's just something about it. The writing in them, the kind of like, these little short sci-fi things that take like, you know, half hour and they just suck in. But the first episode, which was the first episode of Twilight Zone, I'm watching the scenery, and what it is, this guy kind of wakes up and he's just walking down a road by himself and discovers this town and there's nobody there. But it's like an entire town. There's shops, there's a coffee place, there's an ice cream parlor, and like everything's there, but there's not a single person around. So he goes through his days trying to find out what's going on, where is everybody, and he's like, eventually he just slowly loses his grip on reality because he's been isolated. But I'm looking at the architecture of all the buildings and I'm like, something seems weird here. It was Hill Valley from Back to the Future, the town.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah, I had to look it up and I'm like, oh, it is. It was from a movie before then, and then Twilight Zone used it, and then Back to the Future then used it after that.
Kevin's slowly dying, so I'm just gonna take the lead here for a little bit while he stops dying. But we watched a couple episodes, and I think there's something really interesting about watching something from that era, right? And like a lot of the stories are going to be a bit predictions of what could possibly be in the future and things of that nature, but it's just kind of wild about like how the stories are put together and how they can still relate to our much more modern day life. And I feel like that's always been something I need to experience. And much like we had started, we watched like the first season of Twin Peaks, and then we didn't watch the second season, and I haven't seen anything that came, you know, after it on Showtime or anything like that. But very just you looking back at it now, it feels a little bit, maybe I'm going to say ahead of its time, but
oh yeah,
I just love, you got to love the intros. Just so,
oh yeah,
so classic, you know, just the music too. Like my mom used to, I used to be like scared of it as a kid, and my mom used to always imitate it. It would always, I couldn't stand it. But, Rod Sterling, you know, Rod Sterling, just, you know, like forever, you just, yeah, it's perfect. Just, yeah.
The funny thing too is like as the episode goes along, you find out this guy is actually being tested on by the military, and for self-isolation. Turns out he was in that simulation. So it's very much like The Matrix, which is weird, for 2.5 weeks before he had his breakdown. They took him out of for the isolation. He comes to and then he realizes who he is again and what he was doing. And he was actually training to travel to the moon. Now, this episode of The Twilight Zone was before we did the moon landing. So I'm like, man, they were like, people were really thinking about this, because towards the final scene, they're carrying him out in a stretcher, and he's conscious again, but he's like, he's, you know, he's a wreck right now. And he's looking up at the sky and he sees the moon. He's like, you don't, you go anywhere. Cause next time, he's like, it's just you and me. And he's like, he's practicing for knowing he's going to be in self isolation and be by himself the whole time. So yeah, that's what he was just training to do, space travel and to be comfortable being by himself for that long. And the whole thing of the town, it was just a mental break that he had after being in isolation for 2.5 weeks on
simulation,
his own.
Marty.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And then like it ends, and this is what's cool, because what Sci-Fi Channel doesn't do is like when the episode ends, it just ends. This run that's on Paramount, it actually has like an outro, at least in the first couple episodes I watched, with Rod Sterling. And he talks about the next week's episode. So like after the first episode, he's like, next week, he's like, I'm happy to be working with an old friend of mine. He's like, this is the tale. And he's like, it's featuring Ed Wynn. And he's like, good friend of mine. We've worked together on different projects. So he's like, so make sure you tune in next week to this. So it was like, cool to see that, like the you know, coming soon in the era when they didn't really have, you know, commercials and stuff like that to advertise.
Right.
So it's just really cool. And the thing awesome. I can't get my head around, which is weird. And if you just like look on YouTube and find like a video of this, the picture quality in Twilight Zone, it seems so crystal clear. It almost has like that uncanny valley effect where I'm like, this show is so old, but it just for the fact that it doesn't have color, it looks like it could just be in modern. Like I'm able to see all the detail in the sets and all the care. It's just so weird to me because it looks like it's in HD when it's like, well, how? I don't understand it. Like,
how did
you
do it?
My mind. Maybe we need Lucas for that with filmmaking, but it looks so crisp and so clear, which is just funny because like we're not always used to seeing that with television now. Like, you know,
right? No, 1,000%. And I think I've seen, gosh, I've definitely watched a few, but not. Damn it, Kevin! I didn't need more things to try to fit into my routine, and now I'm gonna have to do this. I kind of hate you a little bit now. God,
sorry,
West America.
It's good.
Well, thank you for the
with the writer's strike. What are you gonna watch? There's nothing new to watch. Right?
Thank you for the suggestion. I appreciate that. So
there you go.
Well, that is a great place to end the show, because that is where we're going to end the show. Thank you so much for listening along with Kevin and I. We enjoyed your time here with us. Special thanks to all those that help support the show: Tyler Allen, Tom Servo, Brendan Meyer, Skinny Matt, Edwin Callow. You guys, we love you. If you want to join the Flux Legion, check out us on Patreon at patreon.com/FluxToPose. Kevin, I need you to make a choice though tonight.
Okay.
Command and Conquer or The Floor is Lava?
Ooh. Does the Command and Conquer sample Tim Curry?
I don't think there's any Tim Curry in there, but
damn it.
I could hope.
Then The Floor is Lava.
Floor is Lava. All right. So our ending music for you tonight, coming from OC Remix, ocremix.org, the game Mischief Makers, The Floor is, The Mischief Makers is the game. Floor is Lava. Yeah. This is by Biggeron, arranging the music of two songs, the opening title theme and Volcanic Hot Hot Inside the Volcano. Details, here we go. Mischief Makers, released in 1997. Nintendo 64. So, whew, that's a It's a ways back there, but Floor is Lava, like, you know, it's that great Netflix game show thing now. So it's all the rage. The kids still love it. And there you go. If you like this, you can find that remix, so many more, ocremix.org. Kevin, great to hang out with you yet again. We'll have to talk because 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be on vacation again. So we're either going to have to do the show. I don't know. We'll have to figure out. Next show, the timing release of the next show might be a little wonky, but we'll figure that out, and we'll figure out what we want to do. But I appreciate everybody listening and supporting us, and keep doing that. We appreciate you. So we'll see you. Yeah. We'll see you soon-ish. So maybe
we'll see you when you see you.
Yeah.